as we discuss population issues, how to keep people here, the one thing we need to do, and the one thing that everybody wants, is safe communities. And someone who has been at the forefront of that in law enforcement, but also in studying the very vexing problem of gun violence, is Karen McDonald, the Oakland County Prosecutor. And we're delighted to connect with her here on the island. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon.
You've done a lot of research on this, but I want to get some news of the day stuff out of the way. Teachers in a recent survey was in USA Today are saying, we want to help with the security, but please don't ask us to arm. Have you looked at that? Are there educators saying, look, I'm willing to be trained. I'm willing, maybe some with, you know, military experience. I'm willing to be armed. I'm willing to be a part of that. Where are we on that in terms of when you talk to teachers and educators and where they see themselves?
I think it's a big ask. But more importantly, I think it's not the right question to ask. Gun violence is the number one cause of death in this country for children. And so we need to address that the way that we address any other leading cause of death for people in this country.
Treat it like a health problem?
It's a public health crisis. It is not one thing. It is not just about the guns. But every time we have an incident of gun violence, and by the way, the targeted school shootings are terrible, and we cannot, they're traumatic, but the bulk of gun violence in this country that's killing kids is suicide, and then the bulk of targeted shooting is taking place in workplaces and then the public, not schools. But what we do is we hyper-focus on schools and ask questions solely centered around after somebody already has a gun in their hands. And I'm not saying that's not important. Access to guns is absolutely important. But asking the question about arming teachers or teaching kids to hide under desks is the wrong question. And every other public health matter where the people of this country are in danger, it could be, you know, car accidents, cancer, smoking, drugs, we as a government and in our communities and in the public, we educate the public about what to do. You know what to do if you're in the airport with a bag and no one's standing next to it.
Right.
You know that because we've informed the public. Yet, up until 2020, the leading cause of death for kids was automobile accidents. We didn't just start debating what cars should be and fight about cars. It's a decades-long approach that the CDC funded, the federal government, and we've informed the public. Kids say, you need to wear a seatbelt.
And now we wouldn't think about putting our kid in anything other than an approved child safety seat.
That's right. We haven't just talked about regulating and banning cars. We have educated the public on how to be safe in a car. What have we done to educate the public about gun violence?
So what's the education piece that you need to see? And media is a part of this because we need to have the part of the public relations and public service campaign involved here. And I'm curious as to how that will go.
Well, I started the Commission to End Gun Violence and convened experts all over the country, not just in targeted school shooting, but across the board. Way upstream.
Teen suicide, all of it.
Way upstream. What is causing a kid or an adult to pick up a gun? Way upstream, what we're talking about is distress intolerance. We know, and there's great data on social-emotional curriculum learning, and not just with children, but anybody, and how that can help somebody who might be in a state of crisis, either prevent them from getting in a state of crisis, or showing them what to do. This is not appropriate to say, well, it's a mental health crisis. We have a problem with treatment for mental health in this country. But the bulk of gun violence there is not being committed by people who have a mental health diagnosis.
Or who would be flagged. And yeah.
Exactly. But they are people in crisis. So what we need to do is educate the public, not just at schools, not just talking to the teachers about what they need to do better, but talk to us all about what we can do in our organizations, in our workplaces. In an event like this, when you recognize somebody is in crisis, and then what to do. People don't know what to do.
How to intervene. So what should we be doing?
There are great models of good evidence-based behavioral threat assessments. So that's taking somebody who has been flagged for some reason and say, okay, is this person really dangerous? And then furthermore, what can we do to help this person and provide what they need in this state of crisis?
There is kind of a it's not an I don't want to get involved, but it's especially for those that are nearest to the person who are going to recognize the, for lack of a better term, red flags when they're in crisis. And I'm thinking of the Michigan State shooter whose father said, oh, yeah, he's been a mess ever since his mom died, but didn't know how to address it.
That's on us as a whole. That's everybody's responsible for that. The federal government has not, because of the thing called a Dickey Amendment 20 years ago that passed, has prohibited all CDC funding and research on preventative gun violence. Now, if you stop and think about that, we know there are more guns than people. We know that our kids are going to come in contact with guns sitting here right now within 100 feet.
And you're not researching the guns. You're researching the people with the CDC, right?
Right. I'm using data that's available and bringing it together and then rolling out recommendations, not just that center around once we already have the gun. Yeah. Because that is, first of all, it's not working. We've tried that. And second, it doesn't make any sense. We didn't leave it to a bunch of individual communities to solve, safe sleep, for instance. We need to treat it like a public health crisis, and I'm not just going to talk about guns. And you know what happens? We argue about guns, and then everyone says, well, it's unsolvable. We're never going to agree. And by the way, that's not true. So, I think most people do agree. Nobody thinks that a person in crisis should have a deadly weapon in their hands.
Give me a punch list of the three things that you want us to educate people about. I would say, first and foremost, safe storage. If you have a gun in the home, make sure a child can't get at it.
I want to go way back.
Teach the child what to do if they do find the gun.
I want to go way back.
Okay.
Because it's not just that. Way back, teaching in our schools and in our workplaces tools for people if they approach a state of crisis, teaching others what to do when they see that.
Recognition and intervention.
And employing behavioral threat assessments, connecting to support and resources that just may, by the way, just be a temporary stay. Mm-hmm. And then informing the public about gun violence. Why don't we know kids are going to come in contact with guns. We don't even have any public campaign about guns are dangerous. Do you know the rate of how often a firearm accidentally discharges? Do you know how dangerous a gun is?
Do you know how many homes I've been to where I've seen children brought out the front door dead because they got a hold of mom or dad's gun?
Right.
It's life-changing.
But they won't get in a car without a seatbelt.
Right.
Why is that?
Or you wouldn't put them in a crib that didn't have the proper distance between the rails.
Right. But all of the things we just spoke about, we're teaching kids that. If you got in a car with a child, they would not allow you to look at your phone and drive because they have been taught that is bad. We teach them to stop, drop, and roll. The chances of them being set on fire, very slim. The chances of them encountering a gun on a daily basis, maybe they don't see it, but someone's carrying it, it's being almost 100% they're going to see a gun in their childhood.
Well, I love the idea of recognition, intervention, but we also have to let people know who love the people that are in crisis that it's okay to raise your hand and say, this person needs help. There's a feeling that you're going to alienate them. Mm-hmm. And especially if they are dealing with a mental health break, that you could lose them forever.
But if the public is informed on what that looks like and that recognition and connection to resources is actually how we prevent gun violence, I think I don't think that's such a heavy lift anymore.
We need to do this in pieces. We took a big bite today. We need to do it in smaller pieces.
Happy to come back.
And I hope we can have a buffet of solutions going forward.
That's what we're doing. We started a 501c3, and we are partnering with public and private organizations, and we'll be doing that this summer.
Kieran McDonald, Oakland County Prosecutor. Thanks very much.
Thank you.